Why, hello there, boils and ghouls. Boys and girls. Thank you so much for stopping by. What's that? You say you want to hear a scary story? Well, of course you do. That's why I'm here. My dear, dear sister, Nanny Cadavra, is off on an absolutely unspeakably nefarious mission. And so, here I am, ready to share all the most spine-tingling and Halloweeniest of tales with you all. Who am I? But of course, I haven't told you my own name yet. Just call me Uncle Spooky. I myself have only recently returned from scouring the world, looking for the most frightening stories that exist, and even some that don't yet. I've gone through all of those stories and selected only the best ones for you kiddos. Stories that are just the right amount of intensity for all my little friends. This first story takes place in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We visit a place with an awfully unusual history in The Curse of Garcia Street by Carl Melton. The Curse of Garcia Street by Carl Melton. Read by Ken May. On Halloween night, two pirates roamed the high seas, plundering candy and pillaging doorbells. Of course, the two pirates were best friends and neighbors, Ralph and Kyle, and the high seas were the adobe houses lining Garcia Street in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The two boys had waited weeks. After years of trick-or-treating with their family and dealing with younger sisters dressed as princesses, they finally had permission to go off by themselves at their own pace. It was a promise their parents made years ago, and now that they were both 10, it was time to be free. They had even planned beforehand the best route to maximize their time. The two pirates would continue down Garcia until they hit Camino del Monte, and then cut through Camino Rancheros and loop back to the houses on Garcia they missed. They could hit 135 houses and be home by 9. Ralph did the calculations, and he estimated that if 3 of 4 houses answered their door, and each house gave them a small handful, they each could get over 300 pieces of candy. Enough candy corn, Reese's, Skittles, and Airheads to last until Christmas. Or maybe Thanksgiving if they hide some extra candy in their rooms to snack on at night. After a long day at school, Ralph and Kyle ran home to get in their pirate costumes. Ralph used a black marker to draw a mustache and added a matching bandana and vest decorated with red skulls and crossbones. Kyle's costume had a black tricorn hat and eye patch, a red cape, and a toy parrot taped to his shoulder. The doorbell rang, announcing fresh pizza. They devoured mouthfuls of gooey cheese while Monster Mash played in the background. Their little sisters were still getting ready, but they didn't have to wait for them for once. They were free to patrol the streets and find treasure. As soon as they had their fill of pizza, they lunged out the door, stopping only to take a picture their moms insisted on. With the annual Halloween picture checked off their list, they had no other obligations than getting as much candy as their orange plastic pumpkin buckets could carry, with one exception. Their parents forbid the boys from visiting the Hartford House. The old adobe house on the corner of Garcia had been abandoned several times, but its large size and prime location has attracted several brave real estate buyers in the past 100 years. Unfortunately, no family would stay there for more than a few months. The last family had moved in this past summer, only to pack up and leave a month later. For months, the house had been collecting dust with no owner in sight. The boys had no plans to visit the Hartford House tonight. No owner meant no candy, so it would be a waste of precious trick-or-treating time. Still, the odd warning stuck in the back of their heads as they grabbed their pumpkin buckets and walked out into the crisp fall evening. They ran to their first house, unable to contain their excitement. "Trick or treat!" they shouted as old Miss Sanchez opened the door.
Well, if it isn't Kyle and Ralph, the two most notorious pirates of Garcia Street.
That's us. We're here for the doubloons, Kyle said.
Of course. Let's see what treasure I have.
She revealed her candy stash and gave a handful to each boy.
Thanks, Mrs. Sanchez,
Ralph said.
You two stay out of trouble,
she yelled. But the two boys were already on their way next door. The next 30 minutes was a tremendous success. They had already filled half their bucket with delectable candy. One house even handed out king-sized Butterfingers. They were about to cross to the other side of Garcia Street when Kyle stopped and stared at the old Hartford house.
No way, Ralph said. Don't even think about it.
But look, there's a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns on the front porch. What if someone bought the house and has candy?
No one would buy a haunted house right before Halloween, you dingus. I bet some teenagers left the pumpkins there as a joke.
Oh no, poor Ralph is scared of an old house, Kyle said, pouting his lips mockingly.
No, I'm scared we'll get caught and spend the next 5 years trick-or-treating with our sisters.
No one is going to catch us. I'll check it out, and if there's candy, you don't get any because pirates are supposed to be fearless.
Fine, let's go. But you're taking the fall for this if something happens.
The Hartford house sat on a huge plot of land. Surrounding the house was a damaged adobe wall covered with dead ivy plants. The outer gate had long since fallen off the hinges, so there was a clear pathway to the front door. Just as Kyle had said, three jack-o'-lanterns sat on the front porch, but they were not your usual jack-o'-lanterns. Instead of a scary face or a witch on a broomstick, each pumpkin was carved to look like a sad kid with a wide frown.
This is messed up, Ralph said.
It's older kids trying to scare us.
Kyle knocked on the door. Just as the sound faded, a burst of wind came from behind them, blowing out all four jack-o'-lanterns with ease.
Whoa, how did they get that to happen? Kyle asked.
No clue, but I'm officially creeped out. Let's get out of here. We're wasting time.
Yeah, I guess. Stupid old home.
The boys continued their candy collection and quickly forgot the old house. A few houses later, Kyle discovered his pumpkin bucket was not getting heavier. Curious, he reached into his bucket and dug through the candy. His fingers brushed past a few handfuls of candy, but that was all.
Okay, hilarious. Now hand me my candy, Kyle said. What are you talking about? I didn't take any...
Ralph paused, then saw his own bucket. It was less than half full.
Wait a minute, I'm missing candy too.
Hot panic arose in the two pirates. Over an hour of trick-or-treating and they had barely anything to show for it. They looked to see if they had dropped any candy. Maybe their buckets had a big hole at the bottom. But there was no candy on the sidewalk and their plastic pumpkins were perfectly fine.
It made no sense.
Kyle searched his pumpkin again. Melted chocolate smeared his fingers.
Kyle, your hand, Ralph yelled.
The night was getting dark. They ran to the nearest streetlight, expecting to see their candy melted. What they found, however, was far worse. The inside of both their pumpkins featured three words written in smeared chocolate. Ralph gasped and dropped his bucket when he read the message.
Feed me more.
Someone has to be messing with us, right?
Ralph asked, but all Kyle could do was stare at his bucket in disbelief. After some discussion, they continued trick-or-treating, but were on the lookout for any shenanigans. They even kept an exact count of how much candy they had, and with each new house they visited, their total stash just went down.
I don't get it, Ralph said. I only have 20 pieces. Where's it all going?
Kyle pointed to Ralph's pumpkin and sighed.
Turn it around.
Ralph did so and had to swallow a scream. On the outside of his pumpkin was yet another chocolate message.
Not enough. More candy or else.
The boys had enough. It was quitting time. Why bother continuing when they only lost candy with each new house? They might as well keep what little they had. Their walk home was quiet. Both boys mourning the disaster of their first Halloween going off alone. On their way home, they passed carefree kids dressed as vampires, Jedi, and princesses. All of them had full buckets.
Heading home already? Why so glum, boys?
Mrs. Sanchez asked from her front porch.
Yeah, Ralph said. Tonight was a total waste.
She frowned, the wrinkles on her face deepening.
Well, what happened?
Kyle tilted his empty pumpkin toward her.
We don't know. We keep losing our candy. No one stole from us or anything. It's just been slowly disappearing.
Oh no, Mrs. Sanchez said. Has it been 31 years already?
What does that mean? Kyle said. Boys, listen carefully. Did you go to the old Hartford house?
Kyle and Ralph glanced at each other in surprise.
How did you know? Ralph said.
Oh my, I should have warned you. My memory isn't what it used to be. If only I had known this was the year. That creaky old house is cursed. Has been for quite some time. Ever since the Hartford family moved out 93 years ago. No one knew why. Back then, the Hartfords were one of the wealthiest families in Santa Fe on account of owning the old bank downtown. One day, they just up and left without telling anyone why. It had the whole town scratching their heads. Different families have lived there since, of course, but every 31 years, something happens, and whoever is living there at the time gets scared and leaves. Then, when Halloween rolls around, kids who knock on that door find out they are missing more candy.
This happened to you as a kid?
Ralph asked.
I'm afraid so. 62 years ago today. 31 years ago, my daughter made the same mistake of visiting that rotten house. I'm sorry, boys. I should have warned you, but your parents would think I'm even kookier than they originally thought.
How do we get our candy back?
You don't. You had the right idea. Go home. Do not interfere with whatever evil lives at Hartford. I can give you any leftover candy I have tomorrow.
The boys returned to the sidewalk in stunned silence. They could hardly believe a haunted house was stealing their missing candy, but there was no other explanation. Kyle turned back to wave goodbye to Mrs. Sanchez, then froze.
Ralph, he said, was that scarecrow pointing left before?
Ralph carefully studied the straw scarecrow on Mrs. Sanchez's porch, then shook his head.
No, it wasn't pointing at all. I remember, but now... Now it's pointed toward the Hartford house,
Kyle interrupted.
What else could it be pointing at?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Ralph asked.
Oh yeah, we earned that candy. We have to at least try to get it back.
With renewed energy, they ran around little kids and impatient parents wrapping up their night of trick-or-treating and arrived at the old adobe house. The ivy plants wrapped around the outer walls looked even thicker and more menacing than they had an hour ago. The three jack-o'-lanterns carved as sad children were flickering in the darkness.
I thought the wind blew those out, Ralph said. Someone relit them, I guess.
The jack-o'-lanterns were not the only light near the abandoned house. Behind the front window, the boys spotted a candle sitting on a dusty table.
That wasn't there before, Kyle said. No way. Looks like someone was sitting there to spy on trick-or-treaters. Or something,
Kyle said. He reached out a shaking hand and turned the doorknob. To their surprise, the door was unlocked, revealing a long and dark hallway. Dust coated the walls and wooden floor, but the place did not look like an abandoned house should. In fact, there were still pictures hanging on the wall from the last family to live there. Clearly, they had left in a hurry. They snuck inside, careful not to make any sound, and followed a series of candles placed on the floor about 10 feet apart. The candles continued to an open door and a staircase leading down to the basement. Between each candle was a pile of candy, their Halloween candy. Before they could collect it all, the sound of shuffling footsteps echoed from the basement below. Ralph tugged on Kyle's shirt and pointed back at the front door.
I'm getting out of here, he whispered.
Before Kyle could protest, the front door slammed shut, blowing out all the candles and blanketing the boys in pitch black. Ralph screamed. In the commotion, the boys ran into each other and were knocked to the floor. The footsteps were now closer. The basement stairs squeaked with each step. Whatever was down there was heading right toward them. Before they could get to their feet, the thing was at the top of the stairs, towering over the terrified boys. It made a wet, gurgling sound as it reached for something. Suddenly, it struck a match and lit the nearest candle, producing a thin layer of light. While the creature was shrouded in darkness, they could see it was beyond their wildest nightmare. Ralph and Kyle were alone in a haunted house with a giant orange pumpkin walking on long green limbs made of the stems you see at pumpkin patches. The stench of rotting vegetables filled the hallway. Several cracks in the pumpkin were held together by glue. The human-sized pumpkin was not carved, yet somehow it was able to speak in a rough voice.
31 years I slumbered. I was afraid I would not get my candy sacrifice this year. Luckily for me, two tiny humans knocked on my door with their little fake pumpkins full of candy for the taking. Just like the little girl so long ago.
The pumpkin's viney arms shot out and wrapped around both boys' wrists.
Now I get my revenge.
But we didn't do anything, Kyle said in a shaky voice.
Ralph was whimpering in terror.
Oh, but you did. All you rats are the same. Almost a century ago, your parents cut me open and used me as a hidden stash for your candy.
Its voice grew deeper in anger.
But you knew. The tiny humans always know where their candy is. You knocked me out the window and smashed me to get at your precious sweets.
That wasn't us. We're only 10,
Ralph screamed.
You don't smash a pumpkin on Halloween.
It was tightening its grip. The boy's wrists burned with pain.
You carved them. I was supposed to be a jack-o'-lantern. Now look at me.
The boys exchanged glances. This thing was just getting angrier. They had to get out of here, and quick. Their one hope was a Hail Mary idea forming in Ralph's mind.
Well, we can help,
Ralph finally said, his voice squeaky and weak.
Oh yeah,
Kyle said, suddenly aware of Ralph's plan.
We've carved plenty of pumpkins. We can make you the biggest, most awesome jack-o'-lantern on the block.
Kyle was convinced this was all for naught and that they would never leave this cursed house. But to his surprise, the putrid pumpkin's grip on their arms loosened. While it had no face, Kyle could tell the creature was considering their proposal. It didn't last long. The powerful grip returned, and the pumpkin moved its cracked and rotting head right into the boys' faces.
Tiny humans do not carve, they smash. I'm done. There is no Halloween spirit anymore.
No!
Ralph yelled, finding his confidence.
We promise we will fix you up. There must be a knife in the kitchen. The last family didn't pack everything when they left.
They didn't have time to pack, the pumpkin cackled. But yes, there are plenty of knives around. Very well, you may try. But any wrong move, and I'll be using that knife on you.
The boys gulped and got to work. 30 minutes later, Ralph and Kyle stood on the Hartford House's front porch, where four proud jack-o'-lanterns stood watch. The boys had fixed the three that were carved to look like children so that their frowns were turned into wide, cheerful grins. The largest pumpkin, who only a short while ago had threatened the boys with knives, was still rotted and cracked, but also transformed with two perfect triangle eyes, two slits for a nose, and a wide mouth with four jagged teeth. The candle inside it flickered excitedly.
How do I look?
The newly carved pumpkin said. Its voice sounded less harsh. In fact, there was a hint of appreciation from the creature, which had haunted the Hartford house for 93 years. The boys had lifted the curse, and even better, they still had 30 minutes to trick-or-treat before their parents expected them home. Maybe they would have enough candy to last until Thanksgiving after all.
Spooky,
Kyle said. He let out a breath he didn't even realize he was holding. A group of rowdy teenagers interrupted the peaceful silence. Three older boys charged in on their skateboards, each holding a candy-filled pillowcase.
Hey guys, check this out!
The biggest teenager shouted as he came to a screeching stop.
A couple pirates who think they're good at carving pumpkins. Look at that big one. It's all rotted. I can smell it from here.
Leave us alone, Ralph said.
Sorry, Blackbeard. These jack-o'-lanterns are pathetic. Ugly, too. We can't have that now, can we? Come on, guys. You know what to do.
Before Ralph and Kyle could even react, the teenagers had skated through the gateless, ivy-covered wall and jumped on the porch. The next second, they were smashing the four pumpkins with their skateboards.
No! No, 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 no! Get away!
Kyle screamed, charging at the teenagers. But it was too late. They had smashed all the pumpkins to smithereens and extinguished their candles permanently. The teenagers skated away, their laughs echoing in the night. The 2 10-year-old pirates stood in stunned silence, unwilling to believe the horrible turn of events.
So, what happens now? Kyle asked.
Ralph took a moment to think, then finally whispered in a shaking voice,
I guess we find out in 31 years.